Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're continuing to look at this theme. The theme this week is prophetic words, understanding the prophetic moment that we're living through. The scripture says, the prophet Amos, as you know, God talks to his friends about what's coming. He speaks to the prophets. There's always prophetic voices in the history of God's working with his people that he gifts and he equips. He actually speaks to, giving them an opportunity to read the signs of the times, to speak to the people what God wants spoken and wants his people to hear, and to help understand God's actions at any given time. And now, prophecy is imperfect. As I mentioned on Monday, St. Paul makes it clear. He says, do not despise prophecy, but test everything and cling to what is good. And that's what the recent popes have done, as I mentioned on that program, if you didn't have a chance to tune in on Monday and Tuesday. I think it's been a good week. I think you'll enjoy it. It's helpful to see and try to understand what the Spirit is saying so we can lean into the leadership that the Holy Spirit is bringing us into and to be able to say yes to it, to align our lives again, to essentially to follow Jesus's leadership at this time very clearly and hearing him and obeying him. And there's a whole prophetic stream that's very powerful that comes from Marian apparitions, both those that have been recognized formally by the church and those that are still in the process of that happening. And there's pretty common elements to it. I mean, there's sometimes they're very specific, like when Our Lady appeared to the children in Rwanda and showed them, gave them like vivid pictures, and she gave warnings about the need for the tribes to stop their conflict and that they were moving toward in their rebellion and sin and hatred for each other, were moving toward disaster if they weren't careful. She warned against it, called for repentance, and the Lord even sends Our Lady. It's pretty amazing to think about that. She's the great prophetess of our time, and the Lord, you know, since Fatima and other places, even before then, I guess, has been such an important voice. You know, she warned through the children in Rwanda about what was to come if they didn't repent. This is not what God desired for them, but this is what doubling down on sin, ignoring God, allowing hatred and unrepentance, you know, lack of repentance, lack of forgiveness, unforgiveness to just exist generation to generation, what breaks out. And we all know the story, 1994, just short of 1 million people were killed in just 90 days, roughly. And maybe many of you heard the story of Immaculée Ilibagiza, her very powerful and moving story. But that's an example. A lot of people didn't take heed to the word. They ignored it. And as a result, they shocked the whole world. I'll never forget, I was flying to Europe, and back in those days, they had Newsweek magazines, and you know, at least one was in the seat in front of me, and I pulled it out, and there's a cover story, and it had a picture of one of these Rwandan, really, I don't, how do you say it? There's a particular name they had for him. I don't remember what it was, but they were leading the charge in the butchery that was going on, and he was holding a machete, and his face had blood on it, and the heading said, "There are no more devils in hell. They're all in Rwanda." I mean, it was a way of trying to describe the hell that broke out there. And we know that happens when Our Lady came to Fatima and warned about the wars that were happening. And so God appeals to us, and many times, human beings, we just double down in our sin and our rebellion that's present. So I want to talk today about a passage that's relatively common that I think gives some understanding as well about the time that we're living in and the reasons we're experiencing, some of the reason why we're experiencing what we're experiencing as a culture. This is Romans 1, chapter 18 and following. It says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and wickedness of men who by their wickedness suppress the truth." I remember reading Cardinal Ratzinger commenting on this and saying, this is a kind of constant temptation as well. We talked about this in Psalm 2 in the Kings of the Earth. The desire of human beings to suppress the truth about God, God's authority, God's claim, our absolute devotion, you know, to God and what God deserves, what righteousness looks like, you know, for human beings. And it really is a wicked thing to rebel against God. And I know the prophet Jeremiah, I'm just turning to prophet Jeremiah right now, chapter 2, verse 19, is what the prophet Jeremiah was saying to the people of Israel. At the time, he said, your wickedness will chasten you, and your apostasy will reprove you. Know and see that it is evil and bitter for you to forsake the Lord your God. The fear of me is not in you, says the Lord of hosts. There's a lot there in those two lines. It's, first of all, the diagnosis that it's evil and bitter for human beings to forsake God, to turn their back on him, to ignore their own conscience, the voice of God within, to abuse their freedom, to reject the natural order and the natural law, to ignore his actual commandments that he's given to us. People today don't see that as being that big of a deal. It's not that big of a deal. Well, what we see throughout the prophetic history of the people of Israel, in the words here, for example, in Romans 1, in the New Testament, is it is a very serious thing. So let me read again. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and wickedness of men who by their wickedness suppress the truth. Here's the temptation. Here's the great sin, to suppress the truth about God. God reveals the truth. It's God's mercy. We were made, we have minds, we have a capacity to see, understand the truth, and we have wills to say yes to the truth of what God has called us to. So we're responsible before him. And there's a constant temptation. Of course, the enemy's a liar. He's a deceiver. And you can see in our own culture today the unbelievable amount of lying that's going on in public. It's sick. It's very, very, very sick situation we're finding ourselves in, and it's very dangerous. And it's a sign. One of the reasons there's apostasy happening, that is people turning away from God, walking away, very pompous, very, you know, no big deal. And the amount of lying that's going on in the public discourse all over the place. These things are signs of deep rebellion in the human heart. God is permitting human beings to have what they want. And it's really a dangerous thing. And so he's saying, and by their wickedness, they suppress the truth. So to suppress the truth, this is a willful thing. Listen to what he says, for what can be known about God's plan to them? Because God has shown it to them. It's plain to them, excuse me. God's will is plain, according to St. Paul. God has shown it to them through reason, through conscience, through revelation, all these things. And then he goes on to say, ever since the creation of the world, his invisible nature, namely his eternal power and deity, has been clearly perceived in the things that have been made. He said, everybody since the beginning could see that God exists, that we didn't create it. We didn't create ourselves. And there's an order, and God's order, and his voice in human nature and human conscience. He said, so how does he conclude? So they are without excuse. There is no excuse other than sin. The root of what's going on here, the root sin, it's important to see this, is rejection of God for other things. That's idolatry. That's the fundamental sin that St. Paul's talking about here in this passage. He said, although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give him thanks. So the way the truth gets suppressed and it gets acted out in people's lives, they just ignore God. They refuse to give to God what belongs to God, to do justice to God, to honor God. I mean, God doesn't need it, but it's for our good that he doesn't let us stay in the place where we actually think we can do it and still thrive and still find happiness. He says, and they refuse to honor him and to give him thanks, to have this disposition of total gratitude to God. As St. Paul would say, rejoice always, pray constantly, and give thanks in all circumstances. That's wisdom. That's sanity. That's a free heart. That's a grateful heart. And he goes, but they became, instead of doing that, of honoring God and giving thanks, they became futile in their thinking, and their senseless minds were darkened. They claimed to be wise, but they became fools, and they exchange the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man, birds, animals, and reptiles. So when human beings suppress the truth about God, they step outside of truth, the realm of truth. Truth is that which corresponds to what's real. Human beings willfully, whether they think they are or not, they're willfully in refusing the Creator and His created order and His design, the ground of being which we are responsible before Him, to be able to see and perceive, and in our freedom, using our freedom that He's given to us to respond to His offer of all that He's gifted us with. But instead, the fallen human heart in its rebellion and idolatry, they become futile in their thinking and their senseless minds are darkened. They claim to be wise, but they become fools. Tell me that's not what we're living through. The denial of the most obvious things, male, female, family, human reproduction, the meaning of it, its purpose, so easily understood forever, babies, bonding, family, all of it, you know, bringing the image of God into the world, all of that. Now we've got, what, hundreds and hundreds of genders? Everything's fluid. I can be a man and a woman. Maybe I can be a man and a woman simultaneously now. You know, it's completely insane. What is that? That's futile thinking. It says, look how wise we are. Friends, this is, as Father Fitzmaier at one point said, the fundamental sin here, as I'm saying, is idolatry. And what we now read following this is God's judgment, what comes to those who insist on living in idolatry. It's the punishment that comes to human beings who refuse to repent and to turn back to God. It says, therefore, God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts and to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves. How much of that has happened in our culture? Why? Because they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and they worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator. Why is all this disordered, perversion, absolute total confusion everywhere? Why is it happening? Why are we losing our sense of our clarity about human identity? Because human wills, free people, have decided to literally say no to God, to exchange the truth that is God, God's created order, for a lie. Human beings would rather live a lie than worship and serve God. I will not serve. That's right back to Genesis. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions. This is the next three times He said He gave them up. He gave them up to these things. Here it talks about active homosexuality. But then it goes on, the next section, it says, since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a base mind in improper conduct. It's a reprobate mind. They were filled with wickedness and evil and covetousness, malice, murder, strife, deceit, slander, you know, lying, haters of God, haughty and boastful. These are all signs, friends. Look at how much of this is happening now in open ways in our culture today. This is the reality. What this means is that God's judgment is upon us, and God's judgments are good, and He's shaking the nations. He's helping. He's giving us what we want to bring us back to our insanity, to a place of sanity, to repent and come into salvation and to live in righteousness with Him. Hope you can tune in again tomorrow.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.